Lord, we just we come to hear what your Spirit is saying to us tonight. Lord, as we heard God, Sunday you filled in and you didn't miss a step. And God, sometimes just hearing it from different voices and different people, it just enters in. And we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. You're the source. You're the source. And God, we're each chosen of you and called for a particular purpose, for a particular reason. And we all want to fulfill a call and purpose wherewith you have called each one of us. And so your Spirit is teaching us. And God reminded me today, Lord, today if I will hear your voice, today, if I hear your voice, that I will not harden my heart. And so, God, we just want to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, and not lean to our own understanding, and not jump ahead of you, not try to figure out exactly where you're going, but just receiving with meekness that engrafted word. That's what we live by. Every word that's proceeding out of your mouth. You are the only, the living God, the Almighty God. And you called us, and you chose us, and you called us out of the darkness in your marvelous light. And you that begun a good work in us, and you keep telling us, you're going to continue to perform it. You're going to continue to bring it about in our lives till the day of Jesus Christ. You didn't just start something and leave. You're in it to fulfill your will and your purpose. So, Father, we just thank you for that tonight. And we have this confidence that you've begun a good work in us and you're going to finish it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians and start there again. And well, somebody start verse 9, or chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, down to the 16.
But as it was written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, so it's God's will that we know these things. Like he's quoting in the Old Testament, of course, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, and he reveals them to us by his Spirit. And the reason, because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Not my spirit, his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So it's only through the Spirit that we know the things of God. Because the Spirit is the one who reveals these things to us. And again, it's a revelation. It's not something our carnal mind figures out. It's not something we get because of our intellect that we figured it out. But as it says in Romans, his Spirit witnesses to our what?
Spirit.
That we are the sons of God. So the faith that says, oh, I am saved, doesn't come from an intellectual, well, this is what it says, and this is what I, you know, this is what I believe here. But if your believing is in your head, you're in trouble. Because you got to believe in your heart, your spirit heart. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, and the word of God is near, the word of faith is near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart, not in your head. Satan doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to Satan if you have it in your head because you're not connected. God's connected to you through your heart. No man knows the thoughts of God save the Spirit of God that's in him. And so the Spirit is revealing it to us, what God is thinking, what God wants. And it says, which things we speak, not words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So Paul's saying, I can't get it through to you by my wisdom, by my knowledge. In fact, one place he says he wasn't a very good speaker. But he wasn't depending on his ability to speak. This guy that I knew that taught public speaking, I mean, he could talk about garbage and you'd just be glued. This guy was, you could listen to the guy. You know what I mean? He's a good orator. He's a good speaker. He has a talent for it. But it isn't by talent that we know Jesus Christ. We weren't saved because the speaker had a good way of deliverance. We were saved because God said he called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And some people, they think, well, it's because that message really moved me, or that song really moved me, or this or that or the other thing. But really what it was this God's Spirit was drawing them to God, was drawing me to God, was drawing you to God. Amen? Amen? He initiated it, right? Yes. By grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So he called us out of the darkness into marvelous light. So he's telling these Christians, look, eye has not seen, ear has not, it's written down, but God has revealed him unto us by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But 14, but the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, yeah, okay, I see that. It's spiritually discerned. Okay, he's talking to Christians, and like we said before, it just dawned on me when I was reading that, that if I was sitting there, I would think, that's me. He's revealing these things to me by his Spirit, and he is revealing some things to me by his Spirit. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Now, the reason he could say that is because Jesus said in John 5, I judge nothing of myself. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father which sent me. Amen? He was totally submitted to God. Totally submitted to God. He didn't come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of him that sent me. One place he said, the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. He has no place in me. We're not there yet. Okay. Now, the natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for there is foolishness unto him. And then he gets to 3:1 and he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So what does that make them? It makes them carnal. It makes them natural. Amen? So, now they had faith or they wouldn't be saved. They don't need to get saved. But God has a lot of things that he wants to tell them. That he wants to show them. He wants to reveal to them. But the hardness of their heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your heart. We're not hardening our heart. They would say, we're not hardening our heart because sin is deceitful. And I don't know what I don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And we don't see it. In this very room, Bob Kuntz was, he gave a message one time, and he said about, you know, we can always see the weeds better in somebody else's garden than we can in our own garden. And it's, you know, you have the beam in your own eye, and you're looking at somebody that has a speck in their eye, and but you can see the speck, but you can't see the beam in your own eye. Because Satan, that's what Satan does. Because it's something that's been in us, we don't recognize it. We don't see it, but it's there. But God wants to reveal it to us by His Spirit. But if I'm not in the Spirit, if I'm in the natural mind, He can't, there's no connection there. He's got to get my attention somehow. I got to get to the place where I'm seeking what's going on. What's wrong? Why isn't this working? It should work. The children of Israel, you know, we know their history. You know, God had to let them be sold into captivity till they got to the point where they started to cry out to God again. And then they confessed the fact that they had left Him, and then He brought them back. How many times did He bring them back? And then it slowly fall away again. You know what I mean? It's called the flesh. And that's why Paul said, in me, it is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So we always got to be sober, and we always got to be vigilant. And there's so much here, there's so much. But anyway, because he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. Well, if I'm standing, I mean, if I made it this far, I can't fall. Well, that's not in the Bible, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall. There's no place where we're not, where we come to the place where our safety is in the Lord. Amen? Because He's able to keep me from falling. He's able to present me faultless before His presence. But these people fell in the Old Testament because a lot of them became proud. They started out right, but they became proud. Saul, you know, he's hiding among the stuff, and he's been anointed king. I mean, Samuel, you know, God called him, and he's hiding among the stuff, and when he does mess up, you know, Samuel said, you know, when you were small in your own eyes, God called you. And even David, you know, he sins with Bathsheba and everything, and, you know, calls her husband, and the prophet, God speaks through the prophet and says, you know, if you wanted this, I gave you this. I took you from following the sheep, and I made you king, and I gave you the wives of your Saul, and I gave you this. And if you would have asked, I would have given you this much more. But see, he sort of alluded to the fact that he became proud. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He mentions Alexander Daly. That's what happened to him. And I think it happened to somebody current, and I'm not going to mention any names, but it seems like they got straightened out. But, I mean, it just, when I heard what he would say, I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like pride to me. And next thing you know, they fell. You know, well, it was revealed. It was there before. But anyway, what I want to see what's in me. You know, we want to see what's in us. Amen? So if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. Because the proud won't receive instruction. They can't receive the Word of God with meekness. And if we receive the Word of God with meekness, it will save my soul. It will save your soul. Amen? Because you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. You were born again when you were dead in trespasses and sin. That Word caused you to be alive. Amen? Amen? Wow, so He started it by His Word. He's going to finish it by His Word. But it's got to continually, we've got to receive that Word with meekness. Now, so He's going to tell these people, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. I don't feel like we should give this guy much. For speaking in our church, $25. For you are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? James would have said this, this wisdom cometh not from above, but it's first earthly, sensual, and devilish. But notice he said this wisdom, it's the wisdom of this world. It's not the wisdom of God. It's coming from the Spirit, but it ain't God's Spirit. Amen? So they're listening to a spirit, and they're receiving some words, but it isn't from God's words. They're not God's words. But whoever you listen to, whoever you obey, that's whose servant you are. So God's got to get your eyes open. God's got to cause, and so Paul comes along and nails him. He just nails him to the wall, because I can imagine him sitting there hearing this, you know, eye has not seen her, and, you know, God reveals it, all these things, and we have the mind of Christ. Yes, yeah, I believe it, I believe it. Yeah, but you don't have it because you're yet carnal. Why are you carnal? Well, for while one says I'm a Paul, another says I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So is neither he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. To God be the glory. Amen? Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. It's still God working in this different people. Amen? Amen? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husband, you're God's building. Now we go back to chapter 1, and I'm going to, just for time's sake, to 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions or schisms among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Now remember, God's not depending on my flesh. God's not depending on your flesh. So in the flesh, you can't do this. You got to understand this. You were born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. It was a miracle. Amen? The greatest miracle is that he raised you from the dead. And you are now, your name is written in heaven. So, but he says, there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But the liberty, when we're following the same Spirit, we're of the same mind. Because the Spirit isn't going to tell you something and then tell you something different. That Spirit isn't going to come along and say, well, look at that guy, you know, he thinks he's proud. Or look at that woman, she's showing off. Or look at that. Now, we have to see these things. We have to see these things. That these thoughts come to us in different, now, you know, in different ways, and in different, but they're a wisdom, but they're not a wisdom from above. They're a wisdom that Satan knows where our weakness is. And he's cunning in what he's doing. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Yeah, that Chloe house, I tell you, he might have mind his own business. He's always sticking his nose in other people's. I can imagine these people thinking, it's Chloe, he did it. He signed him on us. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. Now, which one of these guys are false prophets? None of them. Well, what's wrong? I just like Paul. You know, he just explains it the way I can just really grab it. And, oh, yeah, but I see. Cephas, Peter, he's the one, I just follow him. You know, his shadows heal people and stuff like that. And you know, and Apollos, you know, he just explains stuff that Paul never got to. He just really has a way of explaining it. And then the other one said, you guys are in trouble. You're in the flesh. We don't worship man. We're not following man. We're Christ. What's involved here?
Spirit of division.
It's a spirit of division, but what? There's another spirit here. What?
Satan.
No, it's a flesh, right? It's a flesh, right? So what? Why does the flesh look for problems in other people?
You want to make the other person feel better. You feel
for
better.
For themselves, yeah.
Yeah, make you feel better. So what is that?
Jealousy.
Yeah, but what is behind the jealousy?
Envy.
Pride.
It's all right. Jealousy is, it's envy, it's jealousy, it's hatred. It's the things that James talked about.
Kind of.
No, it's pride. It's pride. Because if you're better than I am, then I'm, you know, that makes me doesn't feel good. So I don't want to be around people that are better than me. It's pride. So Satan is the proud one, right? And so, you know, you're children, the devil. And so, you know, we just have to see that he comes with this wisdom and he'll reveal things about people. And it's really something that what we see in other people that's wrong with them, sometimes, like it says in Romans, you're doing the same thing. Because that's what that spirit has been speaking to us. And so what God wants us to recognize, see, this is part of taking every thought into captivity. And so what James is doing, what Paul is doing here, he's not putting them down. He's not putting them down. And he's, you know, he said about the, you know, the man that committed adultery, well, you know, fornication, and then they were happy that they were so gracious about it that they didn't, you know, condemn the guy or anything. And he's saying, what's the matter with you? Put him out. But he jumped on him because they're the little leaven is a whole lump. And so they're having grace, but they're having it on the wrong, they're doing it the wrong way. One of the things they, I was told when I went through that thing with down east, and we're all called to love people. You know, we're called to love people, but we're not called to please people. Now, in the spirit, you can see that, but in the flesh, you can't see that. Because if I love people, I'm not going to hurt them. I don't want to say anything that's going to hurt you. You know, we know people in show business, right? You see things. And so if a guy's a comedian or a guy's an actor or a singer, what are they trying to do?
Please the audience.
They're pleasing the audience, right? Why? Because
that's where
their livelihood. The more people they
please,
and so they got to keep themselves out there. They got to. It's all pride, right? But it's based on their love of themselves, not the love of the people. They're not singing because they love the people, right? Right, right. So, if Paul isn't saying this, and he says it later on, 1 Thessalonians 2. And somebody has the NIV. You know, somebody has a pad and has an NIV. 1 Thessalonians 2, 2 through 4, Jen.
We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts.
Okay. For exhortation was not with of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. He wasn't trying to trick them, or what was another word that used there? Verse 3. Well, just see.
Impure motives.
Yeah, impure motives. God's looking at the
heart.
Remember the guy, I think it was Simeon, you know, came to Philip and said, to Peter, you know, and the disciples and said, you know, John, hey, give me this gift so whoever I lay my hands on, they receive the Holy Spirit. Peter got all over him, right? Jesus got all over Peter one time, right? When Peter said, not so, Lord, this shouldn't happen to you. And Jesus said, you don't sever the things that be of God, but of man. You're not looking after God's benefit, you're looking after man's benefit. And Jesus said, I didn't come here to please myself, I came here to please my Father that sent me. Amen? That's agape love. Right? Right? Now, it says also in Hebrews, you know, that as God chastens whomever he loves, he chastens. And that if we love our children, we'll chasten our children, not because we're trying to get rewards from them, but because we realize that they need to be chastened. Amen? Amen? And see, my flesh, I can't do this. I am not that way. You know, some people are, we call them ignorant. They'll say anything anywhere. Now, I shouldn't have used that word. Just now I'm going to give you an example, and you're going to say, I'm not saying that, no. But my dad would say anything anywhere. I mean, he didn't mix his words. I'm not that way at all. When Misaka got her, was it citizenship? We went down to Philadelphia and we stopped at a Chinese restaurant. Anyway, it doesn't matter what we were down there for, but anyway, we went to this Chinese restaurant. He'd never been to a Chinese restaurant. He's a meat and potato guy. And so he's looking on the menu and all he sees that has meat on it is pepper steak. Of course, he's thinking of steak with a little bit of pepper. And so they come, and you know, there's other people in the restaurant, and all these young waitresses are thin, and they come and they bring, and he looks at it, and he said, out loud, no wonder all these people are so thin, there's no meat on this thing at all, you know, something like that. It's like, you know, you want to get under the table. But Jesus corrected his disciples, you know, do you now believe in me? You know, you're all going to deny me. You're all, but that was the truth, amen? But he wasn't saying the truth to hurt them, because it helps them after they've done it to see that he knew about it. He still washed their feet. Amen? So he wasn't disappointed in them in the sense that if you're going to do that to me, then I'm not going to show any love. No, it didn't matter to him at all. Because he knew what was in man's heart. And here Paul says, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, so God gave him the words to speak, even so we speak, but not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. He's looking at Paul's motive. Amen? Now listen. He just said that he had suffered at Philippi. Amen? But even after that, we had suffered before that and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, you know, the Philippian jailer, and, you know, been thrown in jail because he cast that spirit out. We are bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. In other words, he's starting to speak, and already there's people resisting it. Amen? But yet, for the ones that are listening, he isn't going to hold back, because the love of God is constraining him to preach the truth. Amen? Some people are receiving it. Other people are getting madder and madder. And you just went through being scourged and thrown in prison, right? And they wanted to secretly let him go. He said, no, you're going to come and get me out because I'm a Roman citizen. The Philippian jailer got saved through that. But still, it was in Paul's mind. But yet, he was bold in the Lord. God is able to give us and provide everything we need to be what he's called and chosen us to be. But cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh yeah, that guy's double-minded. We always see somebody else's garden. But God wants to see our garden. He wants us to be truthful about ourselves and allow him to show us what's in us. Now, when he shows us what's in us, how are you going to get clean? How you do that? Ask forgiveness. And you can't ask forgiveness for something you don't know about. You don't see it. I mean, if I say, well, you know, I sort of. No. In the Old Testament, you know, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. But in the New Testament, Jesus paid it all. We are complete in him. Amen? But we've got to, it starts with repentance. Repentance, and the gospel be preached. You know, repentance was preached. Repentance. You got to repent. And to repent, you got to know that you're a sinner. Amen? They can't get saved unless you repent. Well, I don't want to rub it in. I just want to show them that, you know, this is the way, you know, God has all these good things for you. But if they don't repent, if they don't see that they're a sinner, they can never enter into it. Because he always gives grace to the humble. So if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin. And he brought to me, you know, in Acts, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I didn't see this before. I didn't see it before. And he's been telling us. It's been telling, you know, he's been saying it here, he's been saying it there. How many things we don't see, yet it's coming out of our own mouths sometimes, and we don't even see it. He gives the Spirit to them that ask him. Amen? Now, you know the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Somebody read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. First commandment is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, and soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Amen? All the law is fulfilled in this. Amen? And we're, you know, in the new covenant, it's not circumcision avails anything uncircumcised, but it's faith that worketh by love. Amen? Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. So we got to have a real love, not a human fleshly love where I'll tell you everything good you want to hear so you like me and don't leave me, but I don't want to tell you anything that's going to turn you off. I don't want to hurt you. I can't do that. In the spirit, but I'm going to do it in the spirit that Christ did it, because what he does is he wants to get me out of it. Amen. So he's going to tell me the truth, because it's a truth that what makes me free. It's a truth that makes me free. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Okay. Jeremiah 32, 38 through 40. Jeremiah 32, 38 through 40. We Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them, and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me.
So perfecting, so Paul says we perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Well, that's in the Old Testament. But it means you have to have this fear of God. The right kind of fear. You're reverently fearing God. But it doesn't come, it's not something we develop in the flesh. It's the Spirit. Amen? So this is the promise. They shall be my people and I will be their God. That's what was said right before she read that in 7:1. You know, I'll be their God. And they shall be my people. They shall be my people and I will be their God. So having these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. And I will give them. I will give them. Give, G-I-V-E, give, 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 give. Salvation is a gift, amen? Gift. So by grace am I saved through faith, that not of myself, is a gift, amen? So I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for their good and for the good of their children after them, amen? Amen? Wow! So, it isn't just me, it's my descendants. I mean, you can try, but you can't make your child into what it wants, what God wants it to be. But God can! Because you can't even make yourself into what God wants you to be. Amen?
Amen?
We can't. Without Him, we can't do anything. But He's got everything wrapped up in His Spirit. So, gives the Spirit. If you, being evil, now to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? So I will make an everlasting covenant with an everlasting. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Because if I don't depart from Him, these blessings are on me. His eyes are on me. Amen? Amen? Because I'm doing what's right. Now, if I turn away from God, I'm going to have trouble. Right? Sin separates me from God. So, that's why he says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. But it's so diametrically opposed to my flesh. I've got to do something. Yeah, you've got to believe in God. And righteousness will be imputed to you. But faith without works is dead. Yeah, but if you believe it in your heart, you'll say it, you'll do it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And it won't be a work. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Stop trying to make out your own righteousness. I've got it for you. Here's a way that I'll give you everything. Don't you know that you're complete? It says I'm complete in Jesus Christ. I just got to work it out. I just got to believe. I just got to take it. I just got to receive it by faith. I've just got to rest in it. And that's work. You're supposed to labor to enter into the rest. Now, it all sounds easy till he gets in the action of it. Because these thoughts, Satan is good at what he does. He comes with these thoughts. He comes with these words. But see, the more we're submitted to God, the more we become as a little child, then the Spirit of God in me reveals that's not my voice. It's not his voice. It's not me. It's not you. It's him. It's Satan. And so don't receive it. Take that thought into captivity. Get rid of it. Amen? Amen? Because if you lean on your understanding, you're going to try to say, well, it's a good thought because it's in the Bible. Well, it's maybe a good thought, but it may not be the thought that God's, it's not God speaking to you today. And we can't figure that out in our head. Okay, so his promises, this new covenant, I'll take away, this covenant with, I will not take away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. No, no. While we're here, go to Isaiah 11:2. Well, may as well meet a little read 1 and 2.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
So, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. Cease not to pray for you and desire God that Father would, you know, he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened. And so we see here too, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Well, that's talking about Jesus. Yeah, but that same Spirit that was on him is now in us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. Not spirit of fear, but of love and power of a sound mind. And the Spirit of knowledge. The knowledge of what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God's will. Amen? And of the fear of the Lord. A spirit. Of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, with remission of sins, and you shall receive Spirit. Spirit of what? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's a gift. How do you get it? You ask for it. You seek it. You knock. Believing that your good, good Father wants to give you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through knowing him. Amen? And he's the one that opens our understanding. Amen? The people who do not receive, listen to this carefully. The people who do not receive a love of the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they would believe with all their heart, with all their mind, they would believe a lie, that they might be damned. There's no hope for them. But it all started because they didn't receive a love for truth. Because it might have revealed something in them that they didn't want to admit. You know, he told, and we know some of the scribes, some of the Pharisees got saved, but still, he told his disciples, don't even mess with those people. don't mess with them. They're blind leaders of the blind. Because if they don't want to receive a love of the truth, so again, let not your heart become hardened. Today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. So if he wouldn't warn us about hardening our heart, if it wasn't possible, amen? But through the cares of this world, the deceit, and all this other stuff going on, Satan's always conniving, always trying, setting traps for us. But as long as our hope is in the Lord, as long as our trust is in him, he's able to keep me from these things. He's able to get me out of these traps. He's able to keep me going around the traps instead of walking right into the trap. Amen? But it's when I become wise in my own place. Or when I come to the place where I can't receive the, I don't want to, again, this is something he gives us, a love for the truth, even when it says, I'm wrong, you know, sometimes, when I was younger, I think I'm getting better. My wife can vouch for that or not. Anyway, if I'm getting better, it's because God's doing it. Amen. It was so hard for me to say. She said, you never say you're sorry. I have to say I'm sorry. Well, it's because you're wrong. And that went over like a lead frying pan on the head. But to know the truth is to know that, yeah, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said it that way. And if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have said it that way. No, I was wrong. I got to see it, right? I got to acknowledge it. So, again, if we just receive a love of the truth, then God will give us the truth. Yeah, but I don't want to. But God isn't going to reveal the truth to me to make me think, oh, man, I'm worthless. I'm useless. Well, you got some problems. But I'm the one that can fix it. Amen? He's the one that can fix it. He wants to fix it. But he can't fix something if I don't admit it. And I'm not opening myself up to the devil. I'm not opening myself up to false accusations. No. But I'm depending on God. I'm looking to God. I'm trusting in God. And so when he shares something to me and I see it, oh, yeah. Help me to do it. And then, you know, there's things sometimes, you know, the flesh really is strong. That's why the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, cannot do the things that you would. So one other, I think it was Isaiah. Go to Deuteronomy 36. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6.
And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live.
Okay. Now, well, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, but this is a better covenant established upon better promises. And this was meant for us. Because he's the one that circumcised our hearts. It's a circumcision not made with hands, as it says in the New Testament. The circumcision of Christ circumcises our hearts. So what do you have, Paul said in Corinthians chapter 4? What do you have that you've not received? And if you received it, then why you boast like you haven't received it? So one is boasting, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas. And so what I'm trying to say, what I believe the Spirit wants us to be careful with, like he said, all these are yours. Cephas is yours. Apollos is yours. I'm Paul is yours. Christ is certainly. They're all yours. They're all good. But what Satan wants to do is to pit one against the other. When I was, when I came to the Lord, and when I come back to the Lord, I was brought back in the charismatic movement. So it was all about the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. Did you get it? That was one of the things. Did you get it? Of course, in the King James, it says it, but it isn't an it. It's he. He is he. And so there's this thing that started floating around that, you know, if you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, you really aren't saved. People was pushing that. It's the same thing in the world, but it's in Christianity too, because it's the flesh, really. When the pendulum starts to go this way, and God was moving by his Spirit, there's no question about it. God was moving in the Catholics. God was moving in every denomination. That church that we went to, there was Catholics, there was Episcopalians, there was Methodists, there was all different, these people all come together, and it was about worshiping God. It was about, everything was new, it was all about the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And this one elder, he always, whenever he would teach, he'd always say the same thing. He'd always bring us back, but the center of everything is Jesus Christ. The center is Jesus Christ. It's not the gifts. It's not just the Spirit. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? But see, this tendency, the tendency is then, when the one group begins to see that they're better than the flesh gets involved, and they begin to discount the other ones. And so if you're not filled with the Spirit, I don't think you're really a Christian. Which isn't true. It's available to them. But they were born again. But see, this is what was happening. They, you know, one was saying this, one was saying that, but then Satan twists the scripture, and so the people listening to it. And some people, they would take, you know, the teachings of people, and so it was all prosperity, and so they were, it was a type of stock market, like give and it shall be given unto you in good measure. But they weren't seeking God's will. What they were seeking was to get rich. It's a way to make money. I want to read this and then we'll quit. Galatians 5, 19-21. It's funny how things are there and you don't see them. And then when God puts his finger on it. Now remember, he's talking to these people in Corinthians, and he says, you're yet carnal, because you're puffed up one against the other. Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Well, we're safe. Wow, praise God. Hatred. Oh no, I don't hate anybody. Variance. Is that something you put above a curtain? Of allowance? No. Emulations? You mean I'm copying somebody? No. Wrath? Well, I'm not really mad at anybody. Strife? Seditions? Heresies? Envyings? Oh, back into these murders, drunkenness. Oh, yeah, I'm okay, man. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they would do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, church is split. And people have a hard time forgiving the other part of it. I know what a schism is. Hatred, enmity, a very deep, unfriendly feeling, opposition, enmity, hatred. Now, everything has a beginning, folks. You know what I mean? Everything has a beginning. You don't begin to hate somebody. You know, two people get married, then they get, like, they hate each other, and they gotta get divorced. And they really hate each other. And you think, how did they get married? Because they hate themselves. They hate each other. They didn't start out that way. Amen? But the little thing kept eating and eating and eating, and somebody kept receiving it, and said this, and they said that, and this said this, and then pretty soon they get further and further away. Amen? So, hatred, enmity, a very deep, unfriendly feeling. Hostility, strong, strongs. Hostility, by implication and reason for opposition. Enmity, hatred. Variance, contention, strife, wrangling. A quarrel, wrangling. Contention, debate, strife, variance, emulations, an envious and contentious rivalry, jealousy. But again, it doesn't start out at a high fever pitch. It starts out that evil spirit getting in there and seeing something that's wrong with somebody, and it might be something that's wrong with somebody else. But if we see our brother sin as sin, it's not unto death, we are to what? Pray for them. So it's if I'm in the Spirit, if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm in love, it doesn't bother me. Satan can't get to me. Satan can't get to you. Amen? Amen? Because God's able to keep me from falling. But that's why I got to continue to be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is going about. He's stalking you. He's stalking me. He's always trying to feed me something. Always trying to feed me something. And if I receive it, it'll continue to grow in me. If I receive it with meekness, if I receive it, You know, and I don't react to it. I don't take it into captivity. It'll grow. It'll try to grow in me. So God, you know, either gets my attention or else it's going to keep me, it's going to hinder me. It's always going to work on me. I gave you that testimony before about the guy that worked for me. He was always doing stupid things. And he was doing things that were wrong. I mean, we'd be working on a house and they're trimming the windows and I go around the other side of the house and he's trimming the windows. You can't do it that way. It's a better way to do it. I says, they're trimming the windows on the other side of the house the other way. I can't have two different, you can't trim two different ways on the same house. I mean, my way's better. Yeah, but you ain't paying you. I am. I didn't say that, but I thought it. But, you know, it was that kind of an attitude. And he was a Christian brother. I mean, that's, I had more trouble with. Anyway. So this, and, you know, down at the church listening to this evangelist that came. And, well, anyway, we went to the evangelist meeting. And this guy's sitting there. He's went to the church, too. He's sitting over there. And I'm thinking, I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to worship God. I don't want to think anything about business. I don't want to think anything about that person. You know, I'm here. And all during worship, he just keeps coming to me. Just keeps coming to me. Oh, God, I forgive him. I forget it. I don't want to think about it. I want to worship you. And so all during the message, I'm thinking about this guy. And I keep repeating, I take that thought into captivity. But see, it already had entered in. I already had gotten inside there. So I can't even hear what this guy is saying because this battle's going, you know, the flesh is lusting against the spirit against the flesh, and I can't even hear what the guy's saying. All I hear at the end is, okay, you know, anybody that, you know, and I didn't hear what he all, but would you come forward? And I'm thinking, it comes to me, go forward, go up. And I'm thinking, I can't go up. I'm a board member here, and if I go up and it's for salvation, they're going to talk. You know, what are they going to think of me? I know. So finally, I just couldn't stand it. I got up and I walked up front and I knelt down. And I'm telling you the truth. When I knelt down, it left. Obedience. It's better to obey than sacrifice. God makes a way of escape. We can fight, we can war, we can do everything we think we know what to do, and it doesn't work. He has a way. He makes a way of escape. Amen? I mean, all I had to do was get, and I'm fighting it. I can't get down here. What are people going to think? That was my flesh. Amen? So their spirits are, they're working together. But the spirit, God's spirit in me was greater. Amen? Amen? I don't want you to think that I always do anything right, but I don't. But at that time I did it, and God showed up. I mean, I didn't pray any. I never had a chance to pray. All I did was kneel down, and bam, I was free. Wow. I just had to continue to keep those thoughts in captivity when it came back to work the next day and the next day. I just had to keep that. Envious, contentious, rivalry, favorable, unfavorable one. Okay, the jealousy as of a husband, jealous, or an enemy, malice, emulation, envy, fervent mind, indignation. So it's a good, there's a good part of this, but this is the bad part. Anyway, it's, if you look at these things, you know, at first we just glance over and say, well, that's not me. But you can believe that stuff is in the flesh. That they are the works of the flesh. And so in you, in me, in Paul, in Cephas, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen? Him and Barnabas had such a contention that they split over John Mark. Well, Paul wrote the most of the Bible there, so he couldn't be at fault. Yes, he could. Only by pride cometh contention. And later on, he says, bring John Mark, because he's profitable to the ministry. So evidently, and he did say that he felt he was the chief of sinners. Amen? But what I am, by the grace of God, I am. Amen? But by the grace of God, we are. Amen? Amen? Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Lord, we want to fulfill the call, the purpose that you have for us. We serve a living God. You're not just a God who desires us to give you things. You want to give us things so that we can bring glory and honor and praise to you among the people that we walk among. We want to be able to be used of you wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. You want to manifest yourself. You want to glorify your name. And we want to be, and we don't, God, we just pray that you'd help us to see this more and more. See it in our own lives where maybe we're in the beginning of this thought or that thought or this way. God, help us to see the things that need to be fixed. And that, knowing that the only way to fix them is to recognize that it is there. And then recognize that you're the way out. That if I confess it to you, you're faithful and just to forgive me of it and to cleanse me from it. To cleanse me from it. It's not the work of the flesh. It's if by the Spirit we do mortify the deeds of the flesh that we live. So we do live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. So, Father, I just pray tonight that you would continue to, again, minister to each one where they're at, what they need to hear, what needs to be applied to their life, so that we together as a body would fulfill the call and the purpose wherewith you have brought this church into being, which is exceeding abundantly but what we can ask or think. But it is according to power, Spirit that's working in us. So to God be the glory, great things you have done and that you are doing to us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.